Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Bhakti Vedanta.
Jai.
Ranjaraj Srila Bhagavata Swami
ki.
Jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Jai the day go pray more on the individual. So, has everyone completed their oral presentation? Those devotees who are doing the open book, have they also done the oral presentations? Because I don't think I've got so many marks for the oral presentation, so. Do you give them to me tonight? I get them tonight. Okay. Anyone else can?
I couldn't reach him.
You may have given it to me. I didn't look at the... It did mention something that you did it, but whether or not I actually got it, I just need to have it. I may have it, I'm not sure. I haven't checked. I just didn't seem like I got so many oral presentations. So. Is it Sydney? Very well, Sydney?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Okay, so tonight we're going basically from verses 22 through 24. Because we'll be covering the Shravanam Kirtanam verse. This is one of the longest purports, if not the longest purport that Prabhupada writes for any of these verses. So there's so much in it, and it is so integral and important, this verse, these two verses, that we need to spend the time on them. So the plan is, next Monday, we will finish chapter 5, which will be a lot of verses. It'll be 20 or 30 verses. That's the plan. On Tuesday, we'll do the overview of chapters 1 to 5. And the following Monday, which the date of that is the 13th. Okay. On the 13th of May, you will have your closed book examination on chapters 1 to 5 of the 7th canto here in the theatre, beginning at 7 a.m. That is the plan. Is everyone happy with that? You look such a happy group of devotees. Sharimukhi, were you flying for the exam?
No, Prabhu, I mean, what's the point in my doing anything at all, Prabhu?
I don't want to hear your...
I haven't even done my Bhakti Shastri, so how can I...
I don't want to hear your excuses.
Oh, okay, Prabhu.
Your husband.
Sure.
Your husband.
Sure, Prabhu.
Your husband is rich. He can pay for the plane fare.
Oh.
I'll speak to him after the class.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. You're so submissive. Okay. Text 22. Hiranyakashipu said,
"My dear Prahlad,
my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge." So, my name is Peter.
In this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquired what he had learned from the Guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds, Sangha and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, in his eminent disciplic succession, were the gurus appointed by his father, but his other guru was the exalted Narad Muni, who had instructed Prahlad Maharaj was within the womb of his mother. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with instructions he had received from his spiritual master, Narada. Thus, there was again a difference of opinion because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about the politics and diplomacy Prahlad had learned from Sangha and Amarka. Now the dissension between the father and son became increasingly intense as Prahlad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru, Narad Muni.
So any points in the opening paragraph?
The
the dissension between father and son is too great.
Because one is a demon, one is a devotee.
Pure devotee.
Any other points?
What you learn in a young age is stays through all through your life, and here Prahlad Maharaj has learned in the womb itself, so therefore that's where he found the seed was born to him. And even modern science says that if you learn something in your womb, it stays with your life. And therefore we should start learning in the womb.
Speech and astrology is very pure perception.
Well, at least it means they can hear the sound vibration. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that even when the children come to class, or we have the kids in the class, right, they can't understand what we're talking about. So they don't understand what I'm saying right now. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, because the soul is awake, then the soul is benefiting. So they're getting spiritually purified, even though they may not understand. But it's leaving an impression on the consciousness. And they may pick something up. So even when Srila Prabhupada was in India, and he was giving lectures in Hindi, but he insisted all of his disciples should sit on the stage with him and sit through the whole lecture. So sometimes Prabhupada would speak for 1 hour in Hindi. No one could understand. None of the American or Western disciples could understand. But Prabhupada said, still you're getting purified. And they felt like that. Because, you know, Prabhupada's there and they can feel, just by Prabhupada's presence and his emphasis on things, they can pick something up. And the purity is transformed. So even though the baby can't understand in the womb the philosophy, but still something is purifying the consciousness. So something.
So what happened? Actually, she had cancer and she was about to leave her body. So that time, every after Maharaj arrived, and they told him that she was in that condition. Then he went to the hospital and he sat there and studied Bhagavatam. Then some devotees asked, how is she benefiting? She's not even consciousness. Then Maharaj was telling the same thing what they were telling her, that the soul is still hearing. Even though she is conscious, but the soul is still hearing. So that's why she was in the hospital.
Do you remember Ananya Bhak? Prabhu?
Yeah.
No, he used to run Crossways.
Yeah,
long time ago.
Yeah.
So he left his body in 2001. I was with him when he left the world. I was with him. And Gyana Samudra Prabhu and I were with him when he left. And I was chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Gyana Prabhu was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. So at the time, maybe he couldn't really absorb himself, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the fact is, that is the transcendental sound, which was impressing on his soul at the time of death. So that impression is there, even if we don't understand it, everything, but still the impression is there.
She was lying almost actually unconscious, and then she, you know, turned her head, turned her head to Maharaj. It was a sannyasi. It was a kind of being held in prison.
studying in the office is why I delivered the baby about 6 months ago here. And all through her pregnancy, she was playing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And today when the baby cries, the moment they switch on Hare Krishna Mahamantra, she starts smiling. And so therefore, it's really important that all the prospective mothers should play Hare Krishna Mahamantra, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what is their pregnancy. So therefore, that stands with them when the child is conscious.
So Prabhupada is emphasizing in this paragraph that the there's a difference between the cooler guru and the actual guru. So in India it's very popular that you'll accept the cooler guru, this is the family guru. He comes, he does the pujas for the family, he puts the kumkum or whatever it is on your forehead and chants the mantras and does the pujas and ties the pieces of string on your wrist and does all these things. But this is not actually the guru. The guru is the one who connects you to disciplic succession with the potency of mantra. That is actually the guru. And he gives you the mantra, and because he is in disciplic succession, parampara, then he connects you to Krishna through the parampara. That is the guru. And he's not someone who is just performing some ritual. So the consciousness must change. That is the proof that someone is potent as a guru. He will change the consciousness of the disciples. Not that he will simply come, do some pujas, take some dakshina, and then leave. But the consciousness must be changed. So Narada has changed the consciousness of Sri Prahlada. Prahlada is completely different. He's transformed by the consciousness of Narada. Whereas Amaka and Shunda, they cannot transform the consciousness of Prahlad. Prahlad is not feeling any difference from their association. He has not become purified. He's not become elevated in consciousness. But simply they are educating him for material reasons. So you see, in this day and age, in India in particular, it's very common now. You'll have all these cooler gurus. They will come, but they won't transform the consciousness of the family. Mostly they're coming just to get some dakshina. And sometimes if you don't give them the right dakshina or enough dakshina, they become upset. That's not actually a Brahman. A Brahman is detached. So there's no qualification there. So we see Narada is the actual guru of Prahlad. Now, Hiranyakashipu has said to Prahlad, what have you learnt? What is the best thing? What have the gurus taught you? So Prahlad, because he's a pure devotee and he's in transcendental consciousness, he'll say, this is what my guru has taught me. So Hiranyakashipu becomes very surprised and very angry. But this verse is one of the key verses in the entire Bhagavatam. I was explaining this morning, actually, in the Bhagavatam class, that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savadamam Parichacha. Right? So that is the one instruction that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. If you take all of Krishna's instructions in the Gita, one instruction is paramount. Surrender unto him. Mamekam Sharanam Bhaja. Now that one instruction is expanded into four. Right? Mamana Baba Mabhakto Majaji Mam Namaskuru. Those four are expanded into these nine. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, like that. And these nine are expanded into the 64, which are given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sutta. Okay. So this is integral to our entire philosophy. This is our Abhideya. Abhideya means our process of how to approach Krishna. How do we approach Krishna? Through these nine processes of bhakti. Okay? So it's extremely important. This is integral to the entire Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, the mind, and the words, These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge.
Okay.
So there's 28 paragraphs within this purport. So I'm going to just extract and comment a little on all of them. If you have questions, you can ask as we go, because there's a lot to cover.
So, first of all, Prabhupada is saying,
anyone can perform pure devotional service. Devotional service is not for, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, it is not just for the brahmanas. It is not for highly elevated people. Devotional service can be performed by
everyone.
Anyone can perform devotional service. That is the potency of devotional service. One does not have to become externally qualified to perform devotional service. Just like who can take prasadam? Anyone can take prasadam. Right? That is bhakti. That is devotional service. Which of the nine items of devotional service is taking prasadam? Have a guess. Huh?
All.
All, yes, all. Shravanam, hearing is taking prasadam. That's, how can it be all? Taking prasadam is kirtan? Yeah, it's archanam. Archanam. Right? What are we taking? What are we honoring? Right? It's part of deity worship is to honor the prasad of the deity. Right? So anyone can do that. So that is the potency of the bhakti, or pure devotional service, or no, it's archanam. Yeah. You're distributing prasad on behalf of the deity. It's part of the deity worship. You offer the prasad and then you distribute it like that. So I would say it's like that. So, the process of devotional service can be performed by any person. There's no disqualification. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam through his life and his teachings. So, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Chaitanya Mangala, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see Lord Chaitanya explaining and living, as Prabhupada explains in the very beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is the living Bhagavatam. He is the personification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's teaching us, through his example, how any of us, or how any person, can perform pure devotional service, by his example. So in his teachings, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he emphasizes that anyone can perform devotional service regardless of his external condition. No one is disqualified from performing devotional service. Krishna himself says this within the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes this in the very first paragraph. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted anyone as a servant of Krishna if they were sincere in devotional service. Even he accepted, in order to prove his point, that devotional service is free from material consideration and contamination, the Namacharya, Lord Chaitanya made the Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, who was considered to be a Muslim. At that time, he was considered to be untouchable by the Hindu society. But Lord Chaitanya accepted that he was the most qualified personality, and when Advaita Acharya performed one yajna, then he offered the remnants or the prasad from the yajna. The first plate was offered to Srila Haridas Thakur, so that he was setting the example. That this person, because he is purely chanting Shuddha Nam, because he is purely chanting the holy name of Krishna, he has become the most qualified personality. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So we cannot judge anyone or consider anyone disqualified to perform devotional service. Everyone is able to perform devotional service.
This is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So any of these processes of bhakti, anyone can engage in this. So in the second paragraph, then Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that one who engages, and this is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, one who engages his words, his thoughts, and his deeds in Krishna's service is acting on the pure devotional platform. And he is as good as a sannyasi. Because a sannyasi is one who is fully engaging his body, his words, and his mind in the service of Krishna. So if we also engage our body, our words, and our mind in the service of Krishna, this is sannyas. Even if externally you may be still a grihastha, but you can be fully engaged in Krishna's service with body, mind, and words. And if you look at our sampradaya, our parampara, you'll see Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the grihastha acharya. He had 10 or 12 children. He was a high court judge. Very materially opulent. He was opulent, yeah, very, very materially opulent. He had a great deal of material responsibility. Very involved in the material world in one sense. But he was the most exalted devotee of Krishna. Why is that? Because the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is regardless of your external position, right, you should fully engage yourself in the service of Krishna. That is what pure devotee, that's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. And if you look all through the Bhagavatam, many of the exalted devotees, they are grihasthas. Many of the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans, they're grihasthas. You look at Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is such a kind of grihastha. Bali Maharaj. Swayam Bhuvamani, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Jalad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, many of them, they're grihasthas, but fully engaged in the service of Krishna. So this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we should be fully engaged in the service of Krishna. This is pure devotional service. No matter what externally is our position, our only sustenance in our life should be these nine processes of bhakti. We should be fully engaged in these nine processes of bhakti. All the time. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusam. We should be always engaged in these. Regardless of what our external situation is. Then, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that one should worship Krishna directly. Krishna should be directly worshipped. This is the process of bhakti. Not that he becomes an indirect personality. Or in other words, one worships a demigod and then at the end, some recognition is given to Krishna. And Yabhilashitashunya, Prabhupada quotes, the pure devotional service means we must focus on Krishna exclusively. He is our only object of worship. Prabhupada says here in the Bhagavatam, he also says in the Bhagavad Gita, we should not even fix our mind on any other forms of the Lord. We should only think of Krishna. And Prabhupada even says, Krishna in Vrindavan. Because this is what the Bhagavatam is leading us towards. Meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan. Which means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is no different from Radha and Krishna. So if you look on our altar, who did Prabhupada install? All over the world. Gaura Nitai, right? Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. Radha and Krishna, right? And Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. It was Krishna in Dwarka feeling separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. So this is our sampradaya. This is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and his emphasis. And then Prabhupada emphasizes that bhakti actually begins at the platform of sadhya.
We've studied the nature of devotion already, right? Many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. Actually, next week is May. Next week, we'll be studying now together, many of us, for 10 years. It'll be the 10th anniversary. We began in May 2003. Now it will be 2013. We didn't even know if we would live this long. And now we're still studying, by the grace of Krishna. So, if we remember back to the nectar of devotion, sadhana bhakti leads to sadhya bhakti, or sadhya. Sadhana leads to sadhya. Sadhya means perfection. Perfection means bhava bhakti. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Rupa Goswami, according to the Bhagavatam, bhakti actually begins at the point of sadhya, or bhava. In other words, when you begin to enter into your eternal relationship with Krishna. At this point in time, we are performing sadhana. Sadhana means practice. We are practicing devotion. Because while we're doing our bhakti, we're still identifying with our gross and subtle material bodies. So it's not actually pure devotional service yet. It's still practice. We're still practicing with this conditioned form. We're practicing offering service to Krishna. The real service begins when you enter, when you serve Krishna with your swarupa. So this is what we're meant to be coming to. That is the whole point. Prabhupada actually says by the end of Canto 9, you should be a God-realized soul. You should realize your swarupa with Krishna. So at the rate we're going, you have about 2.5 years to realize your swarupa with Krishna. We pray for you. We wish you the best of luck. 2.5 years to go. Otherwise, we have to go back to Canto 1 and start again. The choice is yours. But at the end of Canto 9, Prabhupada says we should realize our swarupa. And why are we not realizing our swarupa? Because we're not serious enough yet in our devotional service. There's nothing holding us back. We're not serious enough yet. I told you the story when Prabhupada called Guru Kripa Prabhu, who was a Swami then, 2 o'clock in the morning. Did I tell the story? Huh? Oh, I have told it. Maybe I told it in the morning classes. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada was translating in Vrindavan, 2 o'clock in the morning. He's translating. So he rings his bell and he calls Satsarupa Maharaj in. He was his servant. So Satsarupa Maharaj comes in, 2 o'clock in the morning, wakes up, comes in. Prabhupada said, "Where is Guru Kripa Swami?" Satsarupa Maharaj said, "He's taking a rest, Prabhupada. You go and get him." So he walked over to his room, knocked on the door. He got up. You know, everything is dark. And Prabhupada wants to see you now. So he goes in. Prabhupada is translating. He goes and pays his obeisances. And he sits there before Prabhupada. And for several minutes, Prabhupada did not even look at him. Prabhupada just kept translating. And then Prabhupada stopped and he looked at him. He said, "What were you doing?" And Guru Kripa Swami said, "I was sleeping, Prabhupada." He said, "Why were you sleeping?" Guru Kripa Swami said, "Because I sleep 5 or 6 hours a night." Prabhupada said, "I sleep 1 or 2 hours a night. Why are you not doing it?" And Guru Kripa Swami said, "Prabhupada, you are a Paramahamsa." Prabhupada said, "Why, you are not Paramahamsa." Guru Kripa Swami just looked at Prabhupada. He didn't know what to say. Prabhupada said, "Go and take rest." Should have Prabhupada key. This was Prabhupada. So the point is that why we are not Krishna conscious, why don't we understand our swarupa with Krishna? Because we're not serious enough yet. We're not performing the kind of devotion that Prabhupada was performing to Krishna. We're not serious. We're serious, but we're not serious enough. So you have 2.5 years to realize your swarupa. Then you'll relish the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. You have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So then, Prabhupada in the 5th paragraph, then Srila Prabhupada begins to discuss the 9 items of bhakti.
Now, what is the first of the nine items of bhakti?
Shravanam.
So Prabhupada says that Shravanam is the beginning of devotional service. Shravanam means the beginning. Spiritual life begins when we hear about Krishna. That's how we come to Krishna consciousness. That's how I became a devotee, by Shravanam. Shravanam means I read one of Prabhupada's books. And that transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada said there is passive hearing, there is active hearing. Right now we are doing active hearing. The passive hearing means you are listening while you are reading. So there's no sound, but passively the sound is coming. The transcendental sound vibration when you read Prabhupada's books. So that changes the consciousness. Prabhupada said this is the beginning of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada also says this is the essence of spiritual life. The essence of spiritual life is Shravanam. Because without Shravanam, your devotional service does not develop. You have to hear about Krishna. You have to hear about your relationship with Krishna. You have to hear about the process of devotional service to Krishna. And by hearing, you become inspired to perform devotional service. It comes from hearing. Sound vibration is the beginning of the creation. Everything in the creation manifests from shabda, from sound. So when we are hearing, we become inspired. Same in the material world. How does the material world operate? Right? I'm hearing. When people have sound vibration, they become inspired to act in particular ways. Do this, do that, do this. It all comes from sound vibration. And it makes an impression on the consciousness. So we have to absorb ourselves in transcendental sound vibration. So we should be listening every day to lectures. We should be reading every day Prabhupada's books. Instead of surfing the internet, surf the Krishna conscious websites. Don't waste your time with material sound vibration. Replace material sound vibration with spiritual sound vibration. This is how spiritual life begins. So, Shravanam. So then, Prabhupada says in the 7th and 8th paragraph, when he begins to elaborate upon Shravanam, he says, you must hear from a Rasika Vaishnava. This is mentioned in the first three verses of the Bhagavatam. If you go back to Canto 1, Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it is specifically said, the Bhagavatam itself says, that you must hear from a Rasika Vaishnava. In other words, you must hear from devotees who have a taste for themselves for hearing about Krishna. You must hear from devotees who are attached and attracted to Krishna. Right? And then you can only advance according to the association that you get, generally. Some people may be able to advance in isolation, but most of us cannot. So we have to associate with advanced Vaishnavas. And when we hear from advanced devotees, we become inspired, our consciousness becomes purified, it becomes transformed. Bhakti is transferred mystically from hearing from advanced devotees, and they uplift our consciousness so that we also become attracted to Krishna. This is the process which is mentioned in the second chapter of the first canto. Sushrushaho Shraddha Nasha. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. We have to develop Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. We should have a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to develop this Ruchi taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. Now, Shan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishivana. The Bhagavatam says, by serving the advanced devotees, by hearing from the advanced devotees, you will also develop a Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, a taste for hearing. So we have to constantly seek out advanced Vaishnavas and hear from them. Now we are very fortunate these days because we can associate with advanced devotees all day long. By the mercy of His Kondasaya Tree, which is run by Chaitanya Prabhu and Koti Guru. Sorry, Kripa Siddha. and so many devotees. They run these, so practically all day long you can listen to Krishna conscious sound vibration. We can't even estimate what is the service of the devotees who have created ISKCON Desire Tree, where you can get any lecture by any ISKCON devotee practically. And you can absorb yourself continuously in transcendental sound vibration.
Actually, ISKCON Desire Tree has all the bhajans of all the great acharyas, and not only that, all the great devotees who have sung those bhajans, there's a list there. If you play that, so beautiful. My home programs, I used to put the song on the projector and we used to play that. So beautiful. Very, very nice. You can hear so many varieties of bhajans. Very great job they're doing.
Yeah, we can't even calculate how important that service is. And that is the mood of Vaishnav, of the Vaishnava, is that they will just give Krishna unlimitedly and freely. You don't even have to pay for it. It's all just there. You just simply take advantage. This is actual mercy. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply take Krishna. The only price that you have to pay is your faith. And the more faith you have, the more you get Krishna. So we must hear from advanced devotees. Prabhupada said, this is the secret of advancing. You must hear from advanced devotees. And Rupa Goswami says this specifically when he gives those five most important items of bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, when it comes to hearing, because at the end, he repeats those five most important items. He specifically says you must hear the Bhagavatam from rustica devotees, from very advanced devotees. That's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. You must hear about Krishna specifically, Krishna's pastimes, from very advanced devotees. That's how you become attracted to Krishna. And that is the only way. Mother Jagatrina said this many years ago at one of the retreats, said that is the only way you'll overcome your attachment to the material energy. You have to hear about Krishna's pastimes from pure devotees. Otherwise you won't overcome your desire to enjoy in this material world. This is the essence of Bhagavatam. This is the secret of advancement. This is Rahasya. Right? So, the next item of bhakti is kirtan. Shravanam, kirtan. Now, Srila Prabhupada said,
I mentioned this in the class this morning, that Srila Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic for hearing from my guru, now I've become enthusiastic to preach Krishna consciousness. So when we perform Shravanam, then we develop a desire for Kirtanam. In other words, we have a desire to preach. So Kirtan means speaking about Krishna, just like we are doing now. We're speaking about Krishna. This is Kirtan. Right? Chanting the holy name of Krishna during japa, kirtan, or sankirtan. That is also kirtan, obviously. And when we preach Krishna consciousness to anyone, that is kirtan. It purifies us. Now, specifically, Prabhupada emphasizes we must learn to chant the holy name of Krishna properly. Now, he gives the instructions in this purport how to chant the holy name of Krishna properly. The first thing that Prabhupada emphasizes is that we must chant the holy name of Krishna, as it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wearing the Kanti Mala around our neck of one particular verse, which is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shikshastika, the third verse. Trinara pi sunichena, parora pi sihishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtanya asada ari. Kirtan. If you want to chant sada, always, then you must become more humble than grass while you are chanting. You must become more tolerant than a tree. You must become devoid of false prestige, and you must be ready to offer all respect to others. In that state of mind, you can always chant. So Prabhupada says, this is how we attain perfection in our chanting. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you must wear this verse around your neck. Just like your Kanti Mala is around your neck always.
So that verse, Trinada Pisudhi Chetanat, should be around our neck all the time. That should be our mood in our chanting. Then we can chant. Then our chanting will become successful. Then we will overcome material desires. But if you don't have this attitude, then you can't overcome material desires while chanting. Then Prabhupada says, the only way that we can advance in Krishna consciousness is when we learn to chant attentively. We have to absorb ourselves in the chanting. Kirtan means attentive chanting. It means that when we are chanting, we should be absorbed in the holy name, in the sound vibration. It should be our only focus. When we're chanting, we should not be unfocused. We should not be doing other things at the same time. Our mind should not be focused on other things. Just like devotees have told me in the past, that when they chant, that is the time when their mind becomes the most turbulent. When they begin to chant their japa, then the mind begins to contemplate more material things. Because the mind begins to, you could say, like, freak out. Now I have to sit and I just have to listen to the sound vibration of the holy name, and the mind really starts to react. But unless you learn to chant attentively, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, as I said, I think last night, that Prabhupada said that in the beginning we should just hear. But then he also said that when you become more advanced in your chanting, when you're chanting, Krishna's pastimes will automatically come into your mind. Now that will only happen if you chant attentively. So you have to cultivate your chanting. We have to take our chanting seriously. Then we will advance in Krishna consciousness. Now it is interesting because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that there are five most potent items of devotional service. But he says of the five, the chanting, Nam Sankirtan, it brings the others to life. Right? Because what are the other five? The other four. Right, the first one is Bhagavad Shravan. Yeah, so the first one is hearing the Bhagavatam. You will only get realizations when you hear the Bhagavatam if your japa or your chanting of the holy name is being cultivated very deeply. In other words, the better you chant, the more realization you'll get from the hearing process. It is reciprocal. Shravanam and Kirtanam are reciprocal. Now, secondly, there is Sadhu Sangha, right? Association with devotees. Now, our primary activity when we're associating with devotees is to chant the holy name with them. Why do we associate with advanced devotees? Why do we associate with the spiritual master? So we can learn to chant the holy name purely in their association. We learn how to chant the holy name from the spiritual masters, from the advanced devotees. So this is the process of advancing Krishna consciousness. So the holy name brings the sadhu's association to life. And then, worshipping the deity, right? If you're chanting purely, the deity worship comes to life. The holy dham, Mathura Vas, residing in the holy dham of Mayapur, Puri, or Vrindavan, that comes to life when you're chanting the holy name purely. So the better your chanting is, the more you will extract nectar from all the other processes of devotional service. So the central pivot of all of our advancement is chanting the holy name, this kirtan. Okay. Now Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that what should we chant? Because Prahlad Maharaj is saying Shravanam Kirtanam. He's saying that you should chant. Kirtan means chant. But what should we chant? What's that? The holy names of the Lord. Very good. But specifically, what should we chant? Very good. Yeah. Specifically, we should be chanting the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Specifically, we should be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because there's so many things that you can chant. But this is a Siddha Mantra. Siddha Mantra means it can award you all perfection. All perfection is to be found within the Hare Krishna Mantra. You don't have to chant any other mantra. Except for the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Right? I know one sannyasi, he says, he chants 64 rounds every day, he lives in Vrindavan, with Sadhu Prabhupada, and he says that in between every Maha Mantra you should chant three Panchatattva Mantras. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita says that when you chant the Panchatattva Mantra, offences are not considered. It will clear your offences, so that when you chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, then you will get taste for the chanting. Yeah? So that is specifically mentioned within the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
In between one round, sir?
What's that?
In between rounds, I should chant three Panchatattva?
One sannyasi says that. One sannyasi says that. And then another very advanced devotee, whose name was Padma Lochan Prabhu, he left his body in Mayapur a few years ago. He wrote some amazing books, especially Madhurya Dham and these books. He said that you should not chant, you should just chant the Panchatattva Mantra before you begin your 16 rounds, but then you should not interrupt in between the rounds with the Panchatattva Mantra, you should just chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. So different devotees give different instructions. But the point is that we should be chanting the Panchatattva Mantra before we begin the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Should absorb ourselves.
Every time we chant the beginning round, we are chanting in between.
It's up to you. It's up to you. Some senior devotees, Vaishnavas, they say do not do it. Others say do it. So it's up to you.
What does Prabhupada say?
I don't know what Prabhupada says. On that point, I'm not sure what Prabhupada says. All I know Prabhupada says, he says that before we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, he said for a period of time, we should chant the Panchatattva Mantra. That's what Prabhupada says. So how to reconcile these things? You have to ask your guru and follow your spiritual master. That's what you do.
So when you say period of time, is it when you start chanting your holy rites, is it
yeah, what I do is I just chant the Panchatattva Mantra until I feel I am connecting to the Panchatattva Mantra. So I must chant it maybe 10 times or maybe more sometimes. I just keep chanting it until I'm feeling like I'm connecting to the Panchatattva Mantra. And when I feel that I'm, like, because you can just, you know, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. You just chant your rounds, but you're not listening to your rounds. Right? So you can chant the Panchatattva Mantra like that as well. So you can just get up in the morning, chant the Panchatattva and then start there, but you didn't even listen to the Panchatattva Mantra once. So the point is that you should be absorbing yourself in the Panchatattva, you should be taking shelter of the Panchatattva. Like I've explained before I chant my rounds in the morning when I wake up, I go through the disciplic succession and I pray to the members of the disciplic succession and then different personalities in Vrindavan, and then I pray to the Panchatattva and then I begin to chant my rounds. I don't just pick up my beads and start going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, it's a meditation. It's jhana. Jhana means meditation. So I chant the Panchatattva Mantra for as long as it takes me to start getting some taste. And when I'm feeling connected to the Panchatattva Mantra, then I begin the Hare Krishna Mantra. And sometimes, when I begin chanting, because I feel like I'm in a bit of a rush for some reason, then if I don't chant the Panchatattva Mantra properly, most of the time then I don't get much taste from the Hare Krishna Mantra. So we have to chant both mantras attentively. That's the point. Prabhupada's point is we have to chant attentively.
Sachinanda Maharaj says that first establish sambandha with the holy name and then start, otherwise it has it is not going to penetrate.
Yeah.
Sathya Sathya Goswami Maharaj has written the book, Bhakti and Affair of the Heart. So in the study that when you recite, when you chant, one complete round of Panchatattva Mantra, that's what he does. seven, eight times, and then it would say it becomes connected to Krishna Mahamudra, then chants.
Yeah, sometimes in Vrindavan I've done that. I've chanted like the whole round of Panchatattva mantra and then started Maha mantra like that. So the point is, you follow your guru. Whatever your guru instructs, you follow that. But the point is, you must take shelter of the Panchatattva mantra before you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That's the point. Okay. So then the next item is
Smarana.
Vishnu Smarana. Smarana means remembering Krishna. This is perfected by Prahlad Maharaj. You'll see in the next couple of chapters how Prahlad Maharaj perfects this under a bhakti. Shravanam is perfected by Parikshit Maharaj, Kirtan by Sukadeva Goswami, and Smarana by Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Smarana requires purity. Your mind has to be pure for you to do Smarana. Smarana means remembering Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. His name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his holy dharma. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says that in Kali Yuga, people do not have this sufficient, they do not have the adhikarya or sufficient purity just to do Smarana, generally speaking. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, it is mentioned that we should take shelter of Kirtan. Because Kirtan will lead to Smarana, or it will purify your consciousness. Cheto, Darpana, Marjana. What Chaitanya says, your consciousness must first become purified. Right? When your consciousness is pure, Cheto, Darpana, Marjana. Darpana means
mirror.
Marjana. Clean, right? When your mirror is clean, then you can begin to meditate on Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Mirror means you will see yourself. So what does that mean? When the dust of the mind becomes cleansed, you will see yourself. It doesn't mean you'll see who you think you are now. It means you will see your Siddha Swarup. And you will see your original form in relation to Krishna. Prabhupada says self-realization and God-realization come simultaneously. When you see Krishna, you will also see yourself, but you will not look like this. You will be a pure devotee in Krishna's pastimes, in your eternal form in Krishna's pastimes. So Smaranam requires great purity. Therefore, Kirtan will lead us, will purify us, so that we can perform Smaranam in the future. But if you try to go to Smaranam artificially or prematurely, then what will happen is that you will get viras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Your rasa, or your taste for Krishna, will turn into viras. It will turn into the opposite thing. If you try to meditate on Krishna's pastimes with the gopis prematurely, you'll just meditate on mundane sex desire. So it requires internal purity, first of all. Then, the next... The next item is Pada Sevana. Pada Sevana means worshipping the lotus feet. Who is the perfection of this Anga was personified by Lakshmi Devi. Now Prabhupada explains in the purport, what does this item mean? Pada Sevana. Yeah. Prabhupada expands it. It also means that Pada Sevana also includes worship of the holy dharma. Because Krishna's lotus feet are always situated in the holy dharma. Every speck of dust in Vrindavan has been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, Balaram, Srimati Radharani, and all the eternal associates. So when you circumambulate the temple, when you circumambulate the deity, when you circumambulate the holy dharma, do parakrama, this is also part of Sevana. And when you're constantly bowing down in the dust of the holy dharma, then this is part of Sevana. You're purifying your consciousness. Pada Sevanam also means to worship the holy rivers like the Ganga and the Jamuna, in which Krishna's lotus feet have also touched, and Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet have also touched, and which are purified by the dust of their lotus feet. So worshipping the Ganga, worshipping the Jamuna, taking bath, that is also part of Sahaja. Also, the worship of Srimati Tulsi Devi is an item of Pada Sevana, to worship Tulsi Devi, who is also always situated on the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet are always anointed with sandalwood pulp and Tulsi leaves. So Tulsi is always situated on the lotus feet of Krishna. So worshipping Tulsi Devi is also Pada Sevana. And then Prabhupada says, worship of the Vaishnavas. When you do Vaishnava Seva, this is also an item of Pada Sevana, because the devotees are always situated like particles of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. They pray, Ayi Nanda Tanaja Tinkaram Patitam Man Vishame Bhavam Bhuto Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Pada Pankaja. The devotee prays to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, when we worship the devotees, when we do Vaishnava Seva, we are worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna, directly or indirectly. So Krishna gets more pleasure when we worship his devotees, this is part of Seva, even than when we worship indirectly. Now the next item is called Archanam. Archanam. Archanam means worship of the deity. Now, Archanam creates, Prabhupada explains in the purport, inner purity, because it is Pancharatriki Vidhiman. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that our devotional service as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is running on two parallel tracks, the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg and the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg, which means the process of hearing and chanting, which we've already covered, Shravanam Kirtanam, and the process of deity worship. Now, Prabhupada points out that the process of hearing and chanting is sufficient in itself to take us back to Godhead. So then Prabhupada says, why do we need to do deity worship? Prabhupada points out that if we don't do deity worship, we don't purify our subtle body and our gross body. In other words, we don't become purified of our attachment to the mind and to the gross material body, the senses. They need to become purified. How do they become purified? By deity worship. Now Prabhupada says, deity worship is especially meant for grihasthas. Grihasthas should do deity worship, because grihasthas are in the bodily concept of life. And Prabhupada specifically said the grihasthas should use their wealth, because Prabhupada says the grihasthas are very rich, they should use their wealth in serving the deity. You should build temples for the deity. You should maintain the worship of the deity. You should worship the deity opulently. It's the grihasthas' responsibility. And that's how the grihasthas become purified. Otherwise the grihasthas, we know as grihasthas, the tendency is to become attached to your bank balance. Grihasthas are very attached to their money. So how do they become purified of that tendency? Otherwise that will keep you in the material world, that attachment. You become purified of that tendency by using your wealth in the service of the deities. This is how you become purified. So this is Archanam. Archanam is perfected and personified by Prithu Maharaj. Right, Prithu Maharaj was? Yeah, he was Shaktivesh Avatar. Prithu Maharaj was a great king, a powerful king, and he showed us how to absorb your kingdom in worshipping the deity. So you should also absorb your kingdom in worshipping the deity. Yeah, Ashwamedha Yagas. Then, Prabhupada explains that in order to do Archanam, you have to take initiation, diksha. You have to take initiation, which means you have to receive the mantras from the guru. Because if you have not been initiated by the spiritual master and have not received mantras from him, which connect you to the parampara, then you cannot get the benefit of the deity worship. So therefore you must take initiation. And Prabhupada explained, deity worship requires training. You must be trained by the spiritual master and the spiritual master's representatives so that you can worship the deity properly. And then it purifies your consciousness. So you need to understand what is the actual standard of deity worship. Then, the next item is... Vandanam. Vandanam means? Vandanam. Yeah. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam. Vandanam. Vandanam means prayer. Prayer. It means, yeah, offering obeisances of respect, but it means prayer. Now, who became perfect by offering the prayers? Akura. So, Prabhupada says that we should not construct our own prayers in the beginning, but we should recite notable prayers. We should learn the prayers which have been written by our previous acharyas, and we should try to understand the inner meaning of these prayers and meditate on these prayers, and they will purify us. So by memorizing the many prayers written by the previous acharyas and offering them to the deities in deity worship, you will become purified in consciousness. So that is the system. You can also offer original prayers, but it is more important for a neophyte devotee, a newly practicing devotee, to offer prayers which have been written by our previous acharyas. And then we will also gradually imbibe and develop their sentiments. Then the next item is? Dasham. Dasham is personified by? Hanuman. Hanuman was the perfect servant of Ram. There was one pastime where one devotee, he comes to Hanuman, and Hanuman is very old. Lord Ramachandra has left the planet, and he's very old. And then one devotee comes to Hanuman, and he says, Krishna needs some service from you. And Hanuman says, I'm very old now. I'm very exhausted. It's very difficult for me to do any service. So he's not very enthusiastic. But then another devotee comes to him and says, Lord Ram needs your service now. So immediately, he jumps up, full of power, and he goes and takes his bath, and immediately he goes to serve Ram. So he is the perfect example of dasyam, or servitorship. Hanuman was fully surrendered to Lord Ram. He could do anything in the service of Lord Ramachandra. He was the most obedient and devoted servant of Lord Ram. Next item is?
Sakyam.
Sakyam means?
Friendship.
Friendship, which is personified by?
Arjuna.
So Arjuna treated Krishna as a friend. Prabhupada points out this is advanced devotional service. We can't imitate this at our point, at our level of advancement. We can't think that, yes, I can practice Sakya. Prabhupada says, however, if we preach Krishna consciousness, this is spreading Krishna's glories, and gradually Krishna will treat us as a friend. But we should not become overly familiar prematurely with the deities or, we should not become slack in our worship of the deities thinking, oh, I'm practicing Sakya Rasa. We're not on that level yet. We should practice Dasya Rasa. And then gradually, Sakya will come. More advanced levels of devotional service will come. And the final item is?
Atma
Nivedanam. Atma Nivedanam means?
Complete
self surrender. Mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. This was personified by Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj lost everything. We'll see this in the next canto, in canto 8. He lost everything. But he had no regrets. He simply thought everything is meant for Krishna. So he was actually happy. He was in ecstasy. The Lord is taking everything from me. I am the most fortunate person. Even though he was the emperor of the universe. But he thought, I am the most fortunate person. Krishna has taken everything away from me. Now I only have him. So that is pure devotional service. So these are the nine processes of bhakti. And as Rupa Goswami has very mercifully, he has elaborated these nine into 64 items of devotional service. So we'll stop there. Next Monday we will complete chapter 5, which is many, many verses. And then Tuesday we'll do an overview of the section. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.